I don't have much money. I would like a bit more. But I'm encouraged by this song that God is a provider. And that's what I want to talk about as well. God as a provider. I greet Bishop and Sister Riley, Pastor Allen, Reverend Jeffers, the moderator, all of the leaders and all of you, my brethren, in Jesus' name. We have been ministered to extensively, and it's already 25 past 10, so I'm going to try and not keep you long. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, if I were down there, I would have said amen if I was down there and heard that. Amen. Amen. I'd like to speak with you and to you with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The context of the message was read. I was asked to speak about that appearance where Jesus provided fish for the disciples. So I'm speaking on the subject, Jesus reveals himself as the great provider. John 21, 1 to 7. And I'm citing also Philippians 4, 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according, hallelujah, in according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I will deal with this revelation on two levels, physical needs and spiritual needs. The context is at the Sea of Galilee, sometimes called Tiberias, Kennereth, and Genezareth. I learned it's a freshwater lake. It's not like down at Cars Bay. And I learned that it is the lowest freshwater lake in the world. It's below sea level. I want to make two comments in passing before I focus directly on the provision. When the disciples realized that it was Jesus revealing himself, John said, "It is the Lord." And I thought, what a remarkable discovery, coming out of a night of disappointment, gloom, and sorrow. And we do have disappointing experiences. Glory to the living God. But it's good to know that Jesus still shows up. When we go through difficulties and problems and difficult circumstances, it's like a night. I'm glad that there's a morning after the night. Glory to God. Jesus appeared to them in the morning after a disappointing night.
That's true.
Have you ever had a disappointing night in your life?
Yes.
The Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy, glory to God. I need not to get too emotional today. It is the Lord. Coming out of a difficult circumstance, it is the Lord. I'm glad that we have a Lord who shows up. We have a God who shows up. Amen. I remember being in a hospital bed in England. I don't know why I'm saying this. I had surgery and it was very difficult. And I was very sick. Somebody showed up in the morning and prayed. And it was not just that person who showed up. God showed up in that room, in that hospital room. God has a way of showing up. I want to advise you that God will show up in your circumstances. And I knew he was there. I didn't see him, but I felt the power of the living God. And he transformed my circumstances. When he shows up, he transforms. He transformed the sea. It is the Lord. Yes, through the night of doubt and sorrow, there's a guiding light. It is the Lord. Second comment I want to make. The episode started with John saying, I go fishing. I go fishing. When you're leading people, be careful that you're guided by God. Don't follow every and everybody. John say, I go fishing. Everybody say, we're coming with you. Peter say, I'm coming too. The same Peter that Jesus had said, I'm going to teach you to catch men. I'm taking you away from fishing to catch men. Careful who you follow. And when you have influence, be careful how you wield your influence. John say, I'm going to fish. And somebody said, and I want to suggest to you that it must have caused his disciples to call to mind that it was at this very sea, the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, that Jesus had called some of them, in particular Peter and his brother Andrew, as well as James and John. It was at this very sea he told them, I will teach you how to catch people. I will make you to become fishers of men. I like that translation. As though make you to become gives me a process. God can make something out of your life. God can make you to become. Don't be cast down. Don't let anybody push you down and put you down. God can make you to become. Some of us want no big thing, come from nowhere especially. It is God who makes us to become. Sometimes we get on as we are bright and wise, but it is God who has made us to become. Brother James, it's God who changed my circumstances. A little boy coming out of long ground. I don't even know why I'm saying that. I hope my children don't chastise me about that. Not in my mess. Makes us to become. God can make you to become. Sometimes we get on as though Christianity is the worst thing. That is not good enough for our children. It's good enough for our children. It was good enough for Paul. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for my children and my grandchildren. Make something out of our lives, Teacher Linda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, good gifts. Amen. Amen. So they had to remember. This may not be the focus of my message. And I'll stop in time. But Jesus was showing these young men, he hadn't changed his mind with respect to their call. And I want to tell somebody, if God has a call on your life, he hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his mind. You could walk away from the call with consequences, but the call is still on your life. It may be years and years ago, but Paul said, and I don't understand fully what this scripture means. I think it's in Romans 11, 29. The callings of God, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Repentance means changing your mind. God hasn't changed his mind. They are without revocation. He doesn't revoke. He doesn't record. I'm here to tell you. Tell somebody. You may walk away from the calling with consequence, but you still have to give God account for his gifts and his callings. Peter was fortunate. He was commissioned again. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Yes. There are some of you down there that God has a calling on your life. God has a calling on your life. In some cases, since you were young, since you were a teenager. And I'm here to remind you today. That he hasn't changed his mind. Amen. Going more directly to the text. The disciples fished all night and caught nothing. And some seven of them were accustomed to fishing. Some about seven of them. And they fished all night. The toil was futile, but Jesus showed up and directed them where to cast their nets. Before they asked me to talk on this, I wrote this. Let me share it with you. It's called Nevertheless. These seasoned fishermen fished all night. But strange, they couldn't get one fish to bite. Up come this rabbi, carpenter, who never cast a line and said, no sweat. And pointed out the exact place where they should throw their net. But as they were already bored, they nevertheless obeyed his word and plowed again in the selfsame sea, a rabbi telling them what to do. With eyes bulging with astonishment, they stumbled upon such a haul. They needed help to harvest all. There is one still extant. There's still one extant whose word we can completely trust. If he says, do this, you must. And Sister Audit told us that we can change our methods sometimes to good advantage. So he's a provider of physical needs. Our God was always interested in meeting people's physical needs. We have examples in the Old Testament. He fed the Israelites with manna, remember? Took care of them every day. And in his model prayer, Jesus said, we should ask for daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. So daily bread, our physical sustenance was always on the cards. And additionally, you can recall this crowd followed him. They were hungry, no shops around, and he recognized he had to feed them. He was not just concerned with preaching and teaching to the people. He was concerned with their physical needs. We mustn't get so spiritual that we forget physical needs. We have to attend to people's physical needs. So he fed over 5,000 of them. And they said, in order to buy enough bread, they needed money equivalent to 200 wages in that time just to be spent on bread. And I'm suggesting to you that we must follow Jesus' example and move to meet people's needs. We know he can provide, all of us can testify. So it's perhaps no news to you, and we sang it over and over today, that he's a great provider. But sometimes he does it miraculously. So that situation you are in, don't get too sorry for him. He always knows what to do. Sometimes you wonder how Jesus is going to get you out of this. But don't get sorry for him. The scripture says he knew what he would do. He was just trying them out. He says, feed the people. And this, where must we get food from? But he always knows what he would do. He's never in a quandary. Amen. So he fed them. But I want you to hear this as well. Sometimes he uses someone else to address your need. This is why there's a scripture which says, if you have it and sees your brother in need and show no compassion, you are void of the love of God. 1 John 3:17. So yes, we all can testify and shout that God has met our needs. But sometimes we have to be God's hands, be God's feet, be God's eyes, be God's compassion, and help to meet our brother's need. Because, says the scripture, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 30, 35. You recall that widow woman at Zarephath? Remember her? In Kings, who was starving with the last bit of flour and oil. And the prophet seemed so heartless. Say, go make a Johnny cake for me first. Maybe it wasn't a Johnny cake. But it was oil and flour.
Yes.
That was the recipe. Go make a bread for me first. Must have been very hard. But she obeyed in spite of her hunger and the hunger of her son. And God took care of her throughout the famine. God understands need, but we have to work with him. Sometimes we have to give to receive. Amen. When last have you blessed somebody? And people do bless people. Sometimes it may not be money, but is it kind? With your goods, people bless people. I'm not preaching it as though it doesn't happen in faith, but it has to be preached. Yes. We have to bless people. Amen. Amen. So we have to hear the voice of the Spirit. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it to me. So when you meet somebody and they need, and sometimes God talks to you too, and you help them out, Jesus said, you're doing it to me. Amen. Amen. So let us help one another. I'm talking to myself as well. I'm talking to Howard as well. We need to bless one another. And don't get too logical with that. I'm never as personal as this. Somebody met me outside church a couple of weeks ago and they gave me an envelope. And it had in a good change. And I say, how you manage? The person says, when God shows you something to do, you do it. You do it. And it's a good thing to be blessed of God. It's a good thing to be used of God to give, to bless somebody. David said, my people are blessed. We are blessed because we can give. It's a blessing to give. Glory to God. Glory to God. So if God tells you to give me something, don't tell him, oh, Howard Fergus had a big job. He knows. He knows already he gave me the job. We're telling him that.
Go ahead, Lord.
And that's not an appeal. Amen. My God shall supply all of my needs. Amen. Amen. I know that sounded jocular, but I'm very serious with this word. You have to bless people. You have to let go something. Amen. Sometimes your own blessing lies in your giving. I know I'm repeating, but I'm deliberately repeating. And sometimes you can't wait until you're full. You give out of your own necessity. You give out of your own need. Because if you wait till you're full, you may never be full. Give out of your necessity. Man just had a little oil left and a little flour. Had to go bake for the man of God. But God looked after. Amen. Amen. We're going, sister. Yeah, I'm finishing now. He is not only a provider of physical need, but he's a provider of spiritual needs. Even as he provided for the needs of the disciples and the multitude, Jesus made it clear there was a higher level of need. Need more than food. Need more than bread and fish. Soon after feeding the multitude, he conversed with them about bread. They saw the miracles. They wanted more bread. And he taught them there are two kinds of bread. The bread that perishes and the bread that leads to everlasting life. So if you only take part of the bread that perishes, you get fat and flourishing and energetic. But you could be malnourished spiritually. There are many of us who are malnourished spiritually. Not feeding on the bread of life. There's a higher level of need, sir. Higher level of need. They claim that our Father, he says, they told him, what are you telling us? Our Father ate manna in the wilderness. We are accustomed to bread. But Jesus told him, and this is one of my favorite scriptures. Your Father ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. No matter how well we flourish, no matter how well we feed, no matter how well we feast, that's just for this flesh and blood life, which ends. There's another bread. Your Father ate manna in the wilderness, but they are dead. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. There's another bread, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, there's another bread. He says, I am the bread of life. I am that bread of which a man may eat and not die. Are you partaking of that bread? Are you partaking of that bread? Spiritually malnourished. We look well physically, but we are impoverished inside. Impoverished in spirit. Because there's a spirit in man. And there's a food for the soul. and God can provide. Just as how the Lord hates to see people starve physically, He hates to see us starve spiritually. Another favorite scripture of mine was, and I'll end after this, when He went to the Feast of Tabernacles. Because Jesus was a good Jew, He kept the rules, you know. Didn't rebel against the rules. He went up to the Feast of the Tabernacles. This was an important feast. They kept this feast to remind them of the deliverance of the Israelites, the 40 years which they wandered round and round in the wilderness. And the priests used to form a procession and go to the pool of Siloam and march to the temple and pour out the water at the altar, betokening blessing and refreshing, and maybe even the future pouring out of the Spirit. And Jesus saw them. Jesus was there all 7 days, and they went on with the ritual. And the Bible says in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood in the midst and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." A lot of time the ritual doesn't bless, you know. Ritual doesn't necessarily bless. We know what to do. We could put up our hands and so on. But we need the real blessing from God. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." There's another level to be satisfied. Remember what He told the woman at the well? The water from this well, you'd have to come back and draw. But who drink of me will not thirst. It will be in him. Is there anything in us? Is there anything in me? Brethren, we must have something in us. It shall be in you. When the difficult times come, when somebody provokes you, when they didn't treat you so right, at work or wherever. Yeah. It shall be in you, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So tell me, when we have sung the last hymn, when the benediction is pronounced, do you have anything in the spiritual man, in the spirit man, to meet the challenges of life tomorrow? It's not the physical food that's going to help. Yes, we have to think of the physical food. Already know I suck at cooking. But we have to think of the spiritual food, spiritual nourishment, spiritual energy to meet the challenges of life tomorrow. And the Bible says sometimes a man's foes are of his own household. Sometimes it's within us. The iniquities need to be combated by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need another level of subsistence to lift you above the humdrum and sordidness of life. You must know what it is. Maybe even driving your car and feeling the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You need that. You need the presence of the living God. People need to invest in their lives, invest in our spiritual life so that we can manage. Manage. You don't always have to, you don't have to come in here necessarily to feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We need spiritual food. And in this Revelation. Jesus showed himself as the provider of physical food, and he also showed himself as the provider of spiritual food. And you recall I said that the calling is without repentance. This happened at the Sea of Galilee. They remembered the call. I want somebody to remember the call that God has on your life. And I want somebody to take hope that there's a morning when you go through your difficulties, your troubles, your struggles, and your trials. And people go through them. They're part of life. There's a morning. And there's a God. This is the Lord. Amen. And you know it is the Lord because of what he does for you, because of his deliverance, because of his miraculous touch. John said, this is the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know it was the Lord. Hallelujah. I know it was the Lord for me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. As we pursue the physical bread, let us pursue spiritual bread. It must be a difficult life not to know the supernatural, not to intercourse with the supernatural. There's a supernatural power to help us to live, to help us to survive. There's a supernatural power. Glory to God. Glory to God. In this humdrum life, night of doubt and sorrow. I don't know where that came from to me last night, and I close now. That old song, through the night of doubt and sorrow. Gleams and burns the guiding light. There's a guiding light. There's a guiding light. There's a light in the darkness of this. In the darkness of this. In the difficulties of this life. There's a light. And God is prepared to provide us. To provide that need. Spiritual. Another dimension. Yes. There's a song. There's a different song. Song of Saints and Higher Ground. Ever heard that song? Song of Saints. They sing a different song. It has a different beat. Amen. It has a different melody. One writer says, my faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints. Hallelujah. Higher ground. So my heart has no desire to stay. Hallelujah. Where doubt arises. And fears dismay, though some may dwell. Don't make up your bed there. There's a higher ground. Don't make up your bed where you are. Prepare to move. Prepare to move up higher. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.